getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and today we're talking about money, specifically solving the financial planning puzzle after divorce. Now, the reality of every divorce is that there's always less money, and for the vast majority of us, ending our marriage means facing that reality. For some people, it means learning to manage the finances for the first time, either in a very long time, or sometimes for the first time ever. It means that there's no more shopping or buying things with an open credit card, being unaware of spending limits, and having a spouse who takes care of paying the bills. For some people, it means reassessing lifestyle choices and adjusting to a new reality. And for others, it may mean seeing their carefully executed financial plans change dramatically. None of these are an easy adjustment, but adjust we must. Ignoring the reality is going to lead to much bigger problems. Now, here to help us understand more about this today is Jason Silverberg. Jason is a financial advisor and author of the upcoming book, The Financial Planning Puzzle, Fitting Your Pieces Together to Create Financial Freedom. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, Mandy. How are you doing today? Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm so glad that you were able to join us. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let's take as a first example, let's say I was married, my spouse handled all of the finances, paid all of the bills, I worked, but they were the primary earner, my spouse is now gone, now I have to do this on my own. Where on earth do I start?
Yeah, financial planning is such an overwhelming topic, and especially when you go through a major life change like that, it can be quite emotional too. So there really is no exact place to start. I think the first thing that you do need to do is take ownership of your financial future and really take stock of where you are and figure out where things are. You know, organize all of your accounts, organize all of your cash flow, and make sure you've accounted for all of any debts that are still outstanding, and really try and understand the situation that you're currently in and really dive deep into that. And then from there, it's really about creating a vision for yourself of what financial success looks like.
Okay, so but before we go on to that, just kind of stick with that understanding your current situation. So if I'm hearing you right, it would be about knowing what credit cards you've got, getting knowing what your bank accounts are, knowing what your debts, like your car loan, understanding if you have a mortgage, what goes into that. And a lot of this is information that certainly here in Colorado the courts ask for as part of the divorce process. But people can start working on that before they go into the legal process, and it starts to help them prepare for being single again.
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of times we forget about all of those outstanding credit card balances or life insurance policies or retirement accounts. So really organizing it all into maybe a one-page spreadsheet is really key there, and keep it simple. You know, sometimes we get overwhelmed by everything, and keeping it simple with just the account balance or the credit card balance, you know, just gives it, put something down on paper and itemizes everything into one easy to read worksheet. And, you know, that's where you start, is figuring out where you are today.
Making sure that you can log on to the accounts online and get a statement for each one.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And then, you know, collecting some of that outstanding information beyond just the account balance would be helpful too. So if you knew the credit card interest rates or if you knew what the interest rates were at the bank accounts that you hold, or, you know, where your investments are. And, you know, we'll get into this potentially a little bit later, maybe, but the beneficiaries on your insurance policies and making sure that you've itemized all of those out as well. So really it's just an understanding of your current situation.
But I can see where that, I mean, it's going to be pretty overwhelming to try and say, okay, this weekend I'm going to do this, and to think that you could get it all done in a weekend, both from maybe a volume of work, but also from a emotional capacity to do all that. So maybe, you know, it's going into this with the mindset that over the next 6 months, I am going to take more responsibility for my finances.
Yeah, and, you know, there's definitely a mindset shift when it comes to finances and really moving it forward. And, you know, a lot of times we dwell on the negativity when we go through a major life change like this, and it's hard. It's hard to get out from under, you know, the emotion and the overwhelm. And, you know, point towards internet resources that you can trust and try and download or wade through as much of that as possible so that you can really learn more about where things are and where you want to take them.
Right. So it's not a quick fix. I think that helps with like keeping the motivation going, because if you go into this and thinking that you can spend a weekend doing it and then you're done, and then you,
right,
after the weekend you think, oh, well, I didn't make anywhere near as much progress as I thought I should. It's easy to fall, you know, to lose track and to lose interest. So I think kind of being compassionate with yourself and understanding that, okay, this is a learning process. It's going to take me a while.
Absolutely.
So yes. Are there things that you can, it's okay to ignore at first and just say, I can't deal with that right now. I'm going to deal with that in 6 months, because right now I have to focus on understanding the credit cards and the debt that we have?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good question, because I've worked with quite a few divorcees who have been very overwhelmed by all of the things that they need to accomplish, and really creating a step-by-step checklist for yourself and prioritize those items is really key. So you're right. It's some of the things that, you know, you don't want to ignore altogether, but that might come a little bit later, might be how to save for your kids' college, or how to make sure that you are saving enough for retirement. You know, those are things that are definitely important, but we can't really start there. We have to start and figure out where we are today, and then we'll get to that in steps 2, 3, or 4 down the line. So really avoiding the knee-jerk reaction to jump headfirst into some of the problems or challenges that you might be facing, and really understand, if you take a step back and you might pause for a second and understand where you're currently at, then it will give you a lot more understanding and I guess confidence that you're going to be moving in the right direction.
Right. That's a good point. So step one then, you say, is just understand, do as much as you can to understand what your current position is. Then what would be, say, the top next three things that you recommend somebody who's just taking on their finances for the first time? What would you recommend that they then focus on?
Yeah, so the first step, as you said, was figuring out where you are today. The second step is figuring out your vision for financial success. What do you want your life to look like? You own your life, so you are now in charge, and you can move that life forward in any direction you choose. And I like to talk about finding your why. A lot of times people feel the need that they have to save for a certain retirement goal or college goal, or that they need certain debts paid off. And I always come back to, what is your personal why? And what's most important to you? And if it's your children, then, you know, we focus our strategy on making sure you're, number one, in a good financial position to help your children, and then number two, helping your children. So, or if it's a business, some people are have businesses, that's almost like a child, you know, we do the same thing. So I think everybody's why is a little different, and I think it's important to really understand what your personal why is, what are your values, and then ultimately, what does financial success look like to you? And, you know, that could be anything from a monetary number to a lifestyle to, you know, just some wishes down on paper. And it is important to document them and write them down in a, either a journal or in, you know, something on paper. There's something to be said about, you know, doing this pen on paper versus digitally.
Interesting. So I like that. So think about what you said, like, what is your own personal goal? That's not what anybody else wants you to do. Because I was thinking that you might tell me, okay, well, the first thing that people should do is to make sure that they have 3 months of living expenses set aside. And your next goal is to pay off your credit card debt. How does that do those things change with the personal why, or is that kind of like that? Those seem to me like standard financial management advice.
Yeah, very good question. And you're right. It's different for every person. And yeah, you can get the rules of thumb that say 3 months of expenses and paying your debts. And for the most part, that those are good strategies to undertake. But if you were to tell me that you're a business owner and you want to make sure that your business flourishes, then maybe debt isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, some businesses need debt to be able to grow and expand. So I think you're right. I think it just depends on the specific person. And I think that's step three and four, which is figuring out the specific strategy to take. And I think that strategy is dependent on, number one, where you are today, number two, where you want to get to in the future. And that's step three and four, which is, you know, what are the small little changes and tweaks that I can make to improve my financial situation? But I do want to just spend just one more second on your personal why, because it's important to not just understand your personal why, but understand your financial goals that tie to that personal why. And so I coined the term financial flow, and I don't know if you've ever heard of the state of flow and being in a state of flow, which is basically aligning your knowing what you need to do and actually doing it all in the same moment and being mindful in the moment that things are actually working. You know, a lot of professional athletes get into the state of flow when they practice, and then they actually are executing on the field or the court. Same thing with your finances. You know, you can create your financial vision, you can have your personal why, and then you can actually align that with your habits and your actions. And if all three of those come into alignment, you're creating a state of financial flow for yourself, and you're being present and in the moment and being mindful that you're actually doing it can be very, very powerful and give you almost a feedback loop and give you motivation to continue that process. You get some wins under your belt and things are actually moving forward and you're seeing debts being paid off or account balances growing and things are moving in the right direction. And that's going to fuel you to continue along the way.
So, Jason, that's quite a different way of talking about money.
Yes. I definitely have a different approach to it. I've seen all the financial pundits say, you know, the stock market is going up, you should buy or whatever. And, you know, I take a very different approach. I'm more sitting down, understanding, and really cultivating a financial vision for you versus what anybody else in the world talks about. I'm really focused on building something that is yours or the person that I'm sitting with. So It's fun.
And when you talk about the personal why and the financial vision, how far into the future are we looking?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And again, it depends on your why. If you have a goal that might or a passion for something in the shorter term, it might be a shorter term goal. It might be a longer term goal. I really like to dive into what does your life look like if all was to what you wanted. Meaning, if money was not an issue, what would you want your life to look like? And we design that life and then work backwards to figure out how much money it will take to fuel that life and create a plan to help you get there.
I think maybe for some people going through that divorce, it would be really hard to look at that in terms of what do you want your life to look like, because it's such a time of turmoil and change, and particularly if the divorce is not something that they wanted, that they haven't had time to adjust to that, and the response might be, actually, I just want my old life back. Or,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I am petrified of, I just don't know how to manage the money on my own.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And it is hard. And, you know, I think it's very important to not do this by yourself, because you can feel overwhelmed and not able to do this and not feel the confidence to really, you know, build the life that you desire. So, you know, it is, you know, hard. And that's why I recommend sitting down with a financial professional and help just guide you along the way. And it is a sensitive thing. You know, it is something that it takes time to do. This is not, you know, 3 months and we're done. This is, you know, years of planning and coaching and building and growing. And hopefully by the end of the process, or not even the end, but, you know, on the other side of it, you've come out, you know, a better person and financially free and living the life that you have always wanted, even if it wasn't the life that you had planned.
Right.
It's a life that you now can appreciate and feel good about.
Well, I have some more questions about that, but first we're going to take a break. Listeners, I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about money, solving the financial planning puzzle after divorce. Now, my guest is Jason Silverberg. Jason is a financial advisor and author of the book, The Financial Planning Puzzle, Fitting Your Pieces Together to Create Financial Freedom. And that book is going to be published on March 14th, so not long before you can get it. And Jason, you have a mini course to share with our listeners.
Yes, yes. So as I said before, don't go at it alone. The mini course is here to help you uncover your why, figure out where you are today, figure out where you want to get to in the future, and really understand the six key pieces to your financial planning puzzle, and helping you to put that puzzle together to achieve the financial life that you're hoping to create. And that mini course is, you know, it's a YouTube video series over the span of a couple weeks. Different modules will be sent to your email, and then you can watch the videos at your own pace, complete the worksheets on your own time, and, you know, move that process forward. And, you know, you're not going to be doing it alone. You'll have the videos. You know, you can certainly reach out to me and my team to help along the way. I definitely make offers throughout the course to be there, to be a consultant to you. It's a great resource, and basically I've boiled down my financial planning process that I take clients through, and I boiled it down into some video clips. And certainly it's not going to be a replacement for the work that we do together, but it is a resource to help move you in the direction that you're looking to go in.
And Jason, one of the questions I was going to ask you is, you know, I think financial advisors have this aura around them, and a lot of people think, well, you know, I don't have enough money to work with a financial advisor. I was wondering, like, how much money assets are we talking about for a typical financial advisor to take you on as a client? Is that a good question?
It's a very good question, and I know that that is a big stigma that our industry has. I've worked with many different people, and they say, oh, I don't have enough money, or, you know, my account's just pittance. And that's not the case at all. I have a variety of different business models to work with a variety of different clients, anywhere from somebody who just can't afford anything all the way up to somebody who might actually have some wealth to, you know, build and grow and protect. So we have many different business models, and some are fee-based, some are not. And that's why I put out the course. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I have different other packages available to make sure that I'm trying to help as many people as possible.
Right.
It comes back down to my personal why, too, which is trying to educate as many people as possible to help them become the best versions of themselves. And I know money can be a stigma. You know, a lot of people have different views on money, whether it's the root of all evil or, you know, the end-all be-all or just a means to an end. And so my goal is to help people make sense of what money is and how it can help you and how we can protect it and grow it over time to help fuel the lifestyle that you want.
All right. So another question for you then is, like, and this is the scenario that we were talking about before the break, of the person who's spouse has always handled the money, and possibly that they've gone from being a college student to being married, and now after a 15-20 year marriage they're getting divorced and having to handle money on their first time. They, you know, what I hear from people is, I'm not good at this, I've never done it, so if I was good at it I would have done it before now, or I'm not good at math, I can't do this. So what do you say to them?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's where I definitely recommend not doing it yourself and going at it alone and working with a financial professional, whether, you know, on a fee basis or not. Or if you are a do-it-yourselfer and you don't have the skill set just yet, build that skill set. And I know it's hard, but...
But you can do it.
You can do it, absolutely, and that's my goal, is to give you the resources to do it yourself. Or if you're the type of person that just doesn't want to learn it or don't want to, you know, learn the skills, then, you know, that's what me and my team are here for, and to help you along the way.
I suspect it has more to do with emotional reasons around money than the actual math part about it.
Yes, that's true.
So let's have another scenario here. Let's say opposite end of the spectrum, you've had your financial puzzle all neatly put together and life is looking pretty rosy, but now divorce has happened, half of your retirement account is gone, you're paying spousal support, you had to pay off some debts in the marriage because they were, you had to pay off debts in the divorce because they were joint debts. And the puzzle doesn't fit together anymore. It's a mess now. There's huge, great gaping holes.
Yep.
Where do you start? Is the approach any different for that person than for the person who's taking on the finances for the first time?
No, I think it's the same. I think it's really understanding that even though the puzzle is going to look different now and maybe some of your pieces aren't the same, I think it just goes back to your vision for what the puzzle needs to or wants to look like. And while, you know, maybe you had different resources to fit your pieces together before than you do now, it's all about taking stock of your current pieces, figuring out what the picture on the puzzle box looks like, and using that as your guide to fitting your pieces together. And again, it just... Just gotta roll with the punches and find the resources to fit it together. And, you know, it's a lot easier to put a puzzle together when you're sitting there looking at it with a strategy in mind than sitting and looking at it and being overwhelmed by all the little pieces that are scattered everywhere.
And that goes back to knowing what your personal why is.
Absolutely, yes. And that personal why will fuel the vision for your future and help you determine what that puzzle picture is going to look like.
But again, for this person, this type of person, in this type of situation, it's a huge emotional adjustment again, though. Because you had your personal why before, or you had your vision before, and now it has to change. So,
yeah.
And I think there are some really challenging adjustments that you have to do there. So like the one that I come across frequently is when there are kids who are in college or approaching college, and dividing the households means that there isn't as much money anymore, and maybe there isn't enough money to pay for college, or you can't make the commitment to pay for college anymore. And that, I think, there's a tremendous amount of guilt around that.
Yeah.
What would be your recommendation to somebody in that situation?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I'll tell you my personal story. My mom, my parents got divorced when I was in high school, and in college, my parents didn't have enough money to send me to college. So my mom, now I realize, you know, looking back, she did everything she could to provide the lifestyle that she wanted and we wanted for the family. And sometimes, you know, you make sacrifices and you prioritize. And while my mom put all of her, you know, resources behind us as her kids, you know, now she's really trying to create her own plan for herself. And so it is about priorities and figuring out what is most important to you and really putting resources behind what's most important. And if college is important, then you do as much as you can at the detriment of some other items. Or if, you know, other items are more important, then you only have so many resources to go around. And it is emotional, and it is hard, and that's why I suggest working with somebody versus doing it yourself, because having a third party or a sounding board can be motivating, it can be confidence boosting, and if it's the right person, can really move you into a state that is less negative and is more in a positive environment. And it's going to take time to do that, and
I'm thinking that they could also, having a third party is actually, you know, somebody that can look at things more rationally, because that whole college, paying for college, it is very emotional. But I've seen people who are tied to that commitment, but really at the detriment of putting money away for their retirement. And I think working with a third party that could actually demonstrate to them the impact on their retirement in paying for college and encouraging them to say, okay, you know, your kid can borrow for college and can fund college. You can't borrow for your retirement, but if you put money away for your retirement now, maybe you can help pay off the loans later.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because if you don't save for your own retirement, then you're going to be, you know, falling back on your children one day for resources to help sustain you till, you know, in your later years. So it's really by helping yourself, you're helping your children. I know I've worked with a lot of divorcees that feel guilty about helping themselves. And it's almost like when you're in an airplane and you want to put your mask on before.
That's exactly what was coming to my mind.
Yeah, and it's hard to, you know, to get past that, because, you know, it is a story that we tell ourselves that we need to help our children first, but, you know, selfishly, or we're being selfish if we're not, but in actuality, we're being selfish if we don't, that we have to help ourselves so that we can help our children.
Right.
So, and that's what it boils down to. And I think, just hitting on one more point, the third party that you work with should be somebody who's patient, should be somebody that while can be sensitive to the situation, is also, like you said, maybe a little bit more on the numbers side, where you're trying to really show the trade-offs of this versus that, and helping the divorcee understand the trade-offs that they're actually making, and that inaction is actually an action, and that it is important to, you know, instead of being flight or fight or flight, there's an option to freeze. And a lot of times we get in the situation of freezing, and that is an action that we're taking. We're taking no action. And so having somebody who's compassionate, but also, you know, a little bit more numbers-based, numerical, to show the outcomes that could happen from either action or inaction is important.
So I have a couple more questions for you, Jason. So I think that when people get divorced, maybe in the late 40s, early 50s, and it wasn't part of their plan, and they're taking a hit on their finances, I hear, well, you know, I won't be retiring at 65. I'll just be working longer. Is that a realistic assumption?
I think it just depends on everybody's specific set of circumstances. And, you know, I think the mentality with that is I'm just going to be working longer because my resources have changed. And I think that doesn't always have to be the case. If that is important to you and that's part of your vision for financial success, then we'll put some resources behind it to help you get there. And while you might be picking the pieces up and trying to figure out how you're ever going to do it because you're falling behind because a lot of your resources have just, you know, gone away, that doesn't mean that you're not going to do it. It just means that we need to create a strategy and put resources behind it, whether it's time, meaning working longer, or money, which is, you know, savings. And, you know, I ask my clients a question that's, it's an interesting one. If you were not able to hit your financial goals, would you rather work longer? Would you rather take more risk to help you get there? Or would you rather adjust your lifestyle in retirement? And so we have this vision for ourselves in retirement, and, you know, whether it's 62, 65, or whatever the number is, we want to retire at a certain age. And it's motivating to put a number to it. But sometimes it's important to really be a little bit more flexible with that and understand that would I be more comfortable adjusting my age at retirement or adjusting my lifestyle or taking a little bit more risk to help you get there? And it's there's no right answer there. It just is really everybody has a different answer.
So maybe a combination of them all. So one more question.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked with someone who is miserable in their marriage but doesn't want to divorce because of the financial impacts? What are your recommendations to them?
Yeah, that's a tough one because I think that's less about the money than it is about the emotion. And while it seems like it's a financial situation, it is emotional because it's a scarcity mentality that we have. We don't want a divorce because we won't have as much money left over. And while there's some practical numbers and logic thinking that we can have in that, it's also the mental state of being scarce. And why live your life in a state of, you know, that unhappiness? If you could be happier, if it would make you happier to divorce, then do that. Certainly, it might be not financially better, but you only have one life to live. And if you have money but you're unhappy, then what good is the money? And my parents used to always say, money can't buy happiness, but it can always help. So certainly, you're unhappy, but you have the money. But you're not, you know, it's not helping. So do what you need to do to live a happy life. and the money we'll figure out later. If that's important to you, then, you know, we'll build that for you. But I think, you know, it there really isn't any specific answer that I can give because everybody's situations are different. I've worked with some people who are separated and they're just legally married for the monetary reasons. So in essence, they're actually separated and divorced other than just a paper that's saying that they're divorced. And that's important too, because you also want to know if you are happy and living the lifestyle you want, but you're just formally married still, that could be advantageous for pension plans and spousal access to retirement benefits. So, you know, if you're in a situation like that, then it actually might make sense to stay married,
right,
if you're living a lifestyle of happiness. It just depends. I don't really know the specific circumstances. It depends on the situation.
Right. So good answer, Jason. Hey, Jason, we're up on our time. I can't believe how quickly this conversation went.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm really excited to be able to share my message with your audience.
And one more time, Jason, the title of your book and where people can get your free course from, and
sure,
I will include the URL in the show description.
Very good. Thank you. So the title of the book is The Financial Planning Puzzle, Fitting Your Pieces Together to Create Financial Freedom. Goes on sale March 14th. You can purchase it on Amazon. You can also log in before March 14th at www.thefinancialplanningpuzzle.com. And if you register online for pre-order, then you'll get the audio version and ebook for free. The course can be accessed at course.thefinancialplanningpuzzle.com. No www's, just course.thefinancialplanningpuzzle.com. And you can sign up for the mini course there as well. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Jason. Listeners, my guest today was Jason Silverberg. He's just told you about his book and his course. I encourage you to check out his course, because I think the most important takeaway from our conversation is that we have to get comfortable talking about money, and it's up to us to set our own financial plan, and it starts with having a vision for what we want to achieve with our money, and not to allow ourselves to feel that we're being judged, that our money situation is somehow tied to our personal worth, allowing ourselves to feel that somehow we're not enough because we're not succeeding in some financial category. I think having a financial plan is part of all of that. And with that plan, you know where you're going to be headed. And it's not where someone else has told you, but it's where you want to go. And that can then mean that you can make spending choices that serve you. And I found that personally, it's a whole lot easier to say, no, I don't want to buy that, or no, I don't need that, when I know that I would rather spend my money on a 3-day cycling trip with some friends. So I think it's hard work, it's emotional work, it's difficult work, but at the end of the day, it can be very liberating. So I encourage you to look at your financial puzzle pieces and to start putting them together. I want to thank you for listening today. This is Conversations About Divorce. I hope you'll join us again next time for more conversations.
Jason Silverberg is a registered representative and investment advisor representative of Securian Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Financial Advantage Associates, Inc. is independently owned and operated. Separate from the financial plan and an advisor's role as a financial planner, he or she may recommend the purchase of a specific investment or insurance products or accounts. These product recommendations are not part of a financial plan, and clients are under no obligation to follow them. Life insurance products contain fees, such as mortality and expense charges, and may contain restrictions, such as a surrender period.
Financial advisors do not provide specific tax or legal advice, and this information should not be considered as such. You should always consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your own specific tax or legal situation.